Underground Espionage episode 46, and it is our 1 year anniversary. Tara, how are you doing 1 year in on Underground Espionage?
Fucking great.
Whoa, you sound like a trashy...
Thanks, Mike.
You sound fucking like a great. trashy lady, Tara.
What? Shit, who else did you think would be here? Fuck.
You are my trashy lady, Tara, and I am so glad that you are. And yes, we started this podcast series off with Pretty Peaches, and as announced last week, wanted to do our anniversary show on another favorite of the old school porn around these parts, and that is Trashy Lady. That will be our feature today. Excited to talk about it.
Me too. As a trashy lady myself, do you think I can be at liberty to call myself a trashy lady? Are you allowed to call yourself a trashy lady?
I mean, I absolutely bestow that mix.
Thank you.
That title
you.
On you. You
I
are
accept.
Honestly, you're a piece of trash.
Oh,
to be honest.
Thank you. So, as a piece of trash lady, there is something that I made a common, you know, an entry level trashy lady mistake today. When you wear a skirt, Mike, you got to consider where you're going to park your ass. You know what I mean? For example, when we're in a place with bar stools, you can't wear like a super mini skirt because like if you're going to a place with like leather seats, wood seats, your ass will stick to it too. And then you don't want to go bare ass on some gross
Makes
seat.
Sense.
You know what I mean? So either
Makes
you bring
sense.
Something to sit on, you wear maybe like, I don't know, hosiery of some sort to protect your ass, or you just decide that you don't care. Today, Mike, I am wearing this skirt on this couch, and I have nothing under my ass, and I am just bare ass on this couch.
You're commando. You're going commando.
Well, I'm not going commando. That is not what I'm doing. I have a skirt on.
Gotcha.
But my ass is out because when you sit down in a skirt, sometimes your ass is out. Look, there's a hole in the middle of a skirt. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great for some things. It's less great for others, let's say. So
well,
that is something you consider, Mike. When you're truly a trashy lady.
I
maybe a really like high class trashy lady. Maybe you wear your teeny tiny skirt and then you bring like a napkin and you like lay it out on the thing.
Like
you know,
a cloth like, napkin?
More like a cool scarf.
Right.
And you lay it across and then you sit your ass down, you know.
I
maybe
like
for
it.
A party trick afterwards, you pick it up with your butt cheeks.
Look,
I'll show you later.
We
we'll try this.
Continue to dole out the advice here on Underground Espionage. This is what
another thing trashy ladies are not concerned about, which some people are, just damaging your hair. You know, we've been watching a lot of period pieces, i.e. the 80s, and you can't worry about frying your hair. You can't worry about damaging it, breakage, frizz.
You feel very, very strong about that. Just damage it. Just break it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, Mike, you have heard me just doling out the advice liberally over the course of many years. And, you know, I've had friends that are like, I've never dyed my hair before. I don't want to damage it. I'm like, what do you care if you damage it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who cares? As a trashy lady, like part of being a trashy lady is you fry your hair until it breaks off. You go with a little shorter haircut. Maybe you shave your head at times. I've had to shave my head before.
Hey.
Then you can wear wigs. You can do whatever. Then you have the grow out period where your hair looks cool. But nobody, I mean, I can't think of a lady where I'm like, oh, she has awesome hair and she looks so cool when it's not damaged. Like, you know what I mean?
You got it.
Like, who do you respect
go
that
for
has
it.
Undamaged hair?
Go for it.
Just go for it. It's fucking hair. Can't worry about, you know, your little strands and have fun.
Ladies, listen to Tara. She knows what she's talking about because she's got great hair.
Well, it's very damaged. Very damaged hair. But you know what? It's fun hair.
It's
you gotta have fun hair.
Yes, absolutely. Well, also want to let anyone in the Los Angeles area know the greater Los Angeles area. Monday, 8 p.m. at the Mermaid Surf and Dead. Tara and I will be there.
Yep.
Bloody Valentine edition. Heartbreak Harbor. We're cruising in dead ahead, setting our sights on that Heartbreak Harbor. So come on out. That's going to be a fun one. It is going to be the first one we do without Gray behind the bar, but he'll be in front of the bar.
He'll be in front of the bar. Even better.
He will More be there having fun. And then Gray is DJing the following Monday, yes. And then we will be there enjoying him DJing. Yes. So looking forward
to that. We cannot torment the bartender. We will have to torment the DJ.
Exactly. Don't torment the DJ, though.
Well, when Gray's the DJ, we will torment the DJ. But when we're the DJ, then one of us will run interference.
Don't torment the DJ. but yeah, come on out Monday. That is going to be a super fun time. Mermaid, 8 p.m. till close. And also, if you haven't gotten the memo, brand new Lusuria album, Fresco, out now, available to pre-order now. But if you pre-order on Bandcamp, of course, you can just listen to it right away, which, why wouldn't you do
that?
Yeah,
I got the memo, and I've heard it 4 times now?
Yes, we...
5 times?
Four or five, we've just... Yeah. Keep listening to it. We're definitely going to be playing a track, or maybe two of it off it on Monday. It is fantastic. I love, anyone who especially knows Noise Extra, knows myself, Tara and Gray, knows what big fans of Lusuria we are. And it just constantly is evolving, but staying in the Lusuria zone. That's, to me, the strength of a great project is evolution within the realm of the world that that project has created. And Lusuria, to me, from the very first tape to now, it's pure Lusuria when you hear it, but it has progressed and evolved in a great way. This new one is just phenomenal. Sounds great. Incredible dynamics, some different stuff going on, but still in the Lusuria zone.
Yeah, I would like to get out on like a sunny hill and listen to this and watch the clouds roll by.
Wow. See, I
wouldn't say it's cheerful, but wouldn't that feel
contrasting
awesome?
That sunniness? Yeah, I mean, I would like to do it on in a dark cavern or maybe a decrepit castle.
That's like our apartment. We've done that. Exactly. It was great. And it's awesome.
A decrepit museum looking at a fresco,
Watching the plaster chip away at a fresco.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So make sure to go pick that up from hospital. And like I said, why not pick it up on the Bandcamp so you can listen to it right away and then while you await that vinyl. It's incredible, Tara.
Yeah. Been great. So we were in the Trashy Lady zone, we were in the Lusuria zone, and then we got into a more violent zone.
Well, along with the release of the new Tin Can tape, also on Hospital, we got in a big Ted Bundy zone last night.
It doesn't take much to get us into
it doesn't take a lot of coercion.
For me, it was always Bundy and Gacy. Well, Gacy first as like a young. Well, I don't know. Maybe Bundy.
Well,
maybe
for you. I mean, again, we always talk about me being away on tour and you always reminding you don't help anybody, especially if someone comes up with a cast. You run.
No, don't help them.
But yeah, we watched the Matthew Bright 2002 movie, and it. I really like that one. I mean, it is obviously director of Freeway and Freeway 2, so there's gonna be that. Late 90s, early 2000s, sleazy, kind of over-the-top vibe to it. And even the look of it, you're never... I like it a lot. I like it a lot. You don't necessarily ever feel like it is the 70s.
You don't feel like it's the 70s, and you don't necessarily... It's always an actor because they're always mugging for the camera, which I'm not bitching about.
No, again, this isn't even a criticism. I like that it is this... That just trashy early 2000s. How many times can we say trashy in this episode?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The trashiest episode ever.
But I like the guy who does Bundy, and it is weirdly accurate because those movies that came out around that time have varying levels of accuracy. The Gacy one is totally inaccurate, but it does have Francis from Pee Wee.
Which is so awesome. And I think he is a fantastic. Yeah.
But it is
Gacy.
Like totally inaccurate. This one is weirdly accurate. It seems to be based on The Only Living Witness because there's, even the first time I watched it, there's scenes in it, and it had been a while since I'd read The Only Living Witness that I was like, wait, is that just part of this movie? And then you go back and look, it's like, oh no, he really did steal the bush.
Yeah, he stole a potted plant from outside of somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
He did push his girlfriend just randomly into a lake.
I love that. That's
move.
One of my favorite scenes, and it reminds me of the scene in Ghost Keeper where he pushes Jenny in the snow. Yeah. Just that, those sort of just
so mean spirit. But it's that thing where, you know, everyone's so fascinated with people who were married to serial killers or had them in their lives, and they're like, were there any signs? How were there no signs? Like, how could you not know? How could somebody live a completely normal life and then go off and murder people without, you know, without the remorse, and then keep going back to it, and no one would be able to tell?
Yeah, and I just, you know, I think there's has to be certain blind eye, you know, turning a blind eye to things. Especially when you
like BTK
or Rex Heuermann. I think there has to be some sort of willful. I almost feel like BTK. I feel like he did hide it really well.
I do feel like it was like a point of pride for him.
But I mean, Bundy is still just you always.
Though. Those
I love BTK. I love BTK's poetry. But I love, you know, you always come back to Bundy, and it's always, you always get something new out of it. But yeah, the 2000 serial killer movies are tricky, and I actually generally prefer the made for TV movies. There's something about the vibe of those, and even the lack of violence that I actually prefer.
Yeah.
This one's incredibly violent and over the top, but I do, out of all the incredibly violent over the top serial killer movies, this is one of my favorites.
But it is like, it is incredibly violent and over the top, but with Ted Bundy, how would you not be?
Yeah, and you
but
do
because
feel...
Because he bludgeons and beats and ties. Yeah. But again, it's not trying to be like body horror type thing with it.
Right.
Because it is just portraying what he did. Like, even if they're asleep and he's bludgeoning people or hitting them with just random objects. Again, I always go back to the log, but, you know, the log always left such an impression on me because it's not Bundy like premeditating exactly what he's doing. What he's going to do. It's like he's just like, I trust myself to figure out how to murder somebody when I get there. He uses himself. He chokes them. He ties them up with whatever's at hand.
A knife, a log. Yeah. Sometimes he does have a plan. Sometimes he doesn't. So that's the thing. That's the thing is Bundy. He hits so many different points of a serial killer. You know, the driving, the ruse. Necrophilia, dismembering, keeping
body parts, going back to the body and putting makeup on it. Like, he really hits, like, checks a lot of boxes
And, you know, a great, great joke teller. Because, Tara, why do women wear makeup and perfume?
Why do they do that, Ted Bundy?
Because they're ugly and they stink. So good. I think that this one, and then you love Secret Life, Jeffrey Dahmer, the '90s Jeffrey Dahmer movie.
Yeah.
You know, so many of the modern ones. You know, we've discussed our dislike of the Gene one, the Dahmer one too. I mean, there's good parts of the Dahmer one, and I think it makes it all the bigger bummer that it turns into again inaccuracy. And as I've said, I'm repeating myself. I know, apologies, but I don't mind. I like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I like the taking the liberties of a real story, mixing it within fiction.
Yeah.
But I don't like when it's presented as the story, like the Dahmer or like the Gini. It feels like you're being told the story, and then when it turns to total inaccuracy, I'm just out. I'm out. So,
however, we loved Blonde.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've like, said a million times, you know. So. So, exactly. There's always exceptions. But, look, you get in a Bundy zone. If you're a Bundy boy, you're going to get behind that Volkswagen. You're going to drive. You're going to drive these freeways, these highways. You're going to pop that seat out.
You know, maybe I did. I loved Ted Bundy so much because as a little girl, when I played with my Barbies, you know what I like to do, Mike?
Bludgeon them?
No. Well, I did bludgeon a few. I would like to. Yeah, you gotta. If you're angry and you're a kid, you gotta smash your Barbies until their heads pop off. But the other thing you gotta do is you gotta wrap toilet paper around them and then use scotch tape and pretend that they were in a massive injury. Like a massive accident. I said, a massive accident.
Listen to you.
You gotta do that. You have to do that. Sometimes you do a full, like, mummy body cast and lay them down in a bed. Sometimes you do an arm. Sometimes you do a leg.
Tara Bundy Connolly. Well, been here, been there, been all around these freeways. But I think, Tara, it is time to discuss Trashy Lady. And I think, Tara, if you agree with me, it would be best to have Ginger Lynn herself demonstrate what it sounds like to be a trashy lady.
Damn. I mean, fuck. I mean, shit. Fuck. What the fuck? Shit. Pussy fuck dick. What the fuck?
You definitely sounded more like Miss Rita.
Thank you.
And there you go. Tara, what do you think? Can you do that, Tara? Can you sound like a trashy lady for me?
Fuck. Yes, Mike.
What the fuck? I love it. Yeah, look, this is a great one. This has always been a favorite of ours of the old school porn era, one of the early, when it was still Vinegar Syndrome doing the porn before it was the Melusine line, one of the early Blu-rays that we had picked up from them. And it's just one that's always stayed with us. We quote it, we love it, and rewatching it for this 1 year anniversary episode just filled us with joy.
Yeah, this film is the cat's ass.
It's great. Well, look, I'm so happy. Like, I love low-budgeted period pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, it's really thrilling.
Andy Milligan.
Yeah, I mean.
A lot of great porn does the low-budget period piece. There is something about it. Again, hey, like we're talking about the Ted Bundy. I mean, low-budget period piece. Like, they do attempt to make it look like the 70s. Yeah. There's things that are 70s-ish, but the chicks definitely look modern.
Well,
like,
well, it's an Art Deco. Like, this is...
This one is,
so
yeah.
This is an Art Deco bootleg era 30s film. We have the classic Deco intro. They use buildings in Hollywood that are Deco design. And it is... you know, some wise guys and their trashy ladies.
Some gangsters, you know. Hey, what a dame, what a dame.
What a dame, what a dame. And then Arlie did the costumes. But we have Harry Reams as
classic.
Our main mug. I don't know what to call him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just you know, the pinstripe suit gangster. You know, just great. Yeah, Dutch.
So we open with Dutch and Care-A-Lot. And essentially what happens is that Dutch's main dame wants to go out. He wants to be kind of more of a homebody. She wants to go out and shimmy and shake until her garters break. And she leaves poor Dutch in a lurch. And he needs a new lady. And he finds somebody working in his club as the cigarette girl. But she is too highfalutin, classy.
She's
abroad.
Too classy. He doesn't like him classy.
Yeah. He needs to trash her up. So he knows that one of his friends is in the slammer and then his lady is available to give lessons. So he calls the one and only Amber Lynn to give lessons to our potential trashy lady, Ginger Lynn. And that is the basis of the film, is how you take a classy dame and take her down to a trashy lady.
Tara, you summed it up perfectly. And yes, right away we get Harry Reams and Care-A-Lot, who was also discussed in our episode on Sweet Young Foxes.
No, I love Care-A-Lot.
Summer.
And she's like, oh, Dutch, don't mess up my hair. Dutch, I just put on my lipstick. Don't mess up my lipstick. And I love Dutch is like big hairy hands.
I mean, Harry Reams is a legend.
Big
you know?
Hairy man, big hairy hands, and he's wearing sock garters, Mike. Which, oh man, I got a cool pair of sock garters, and I forgot to wear them. I should wear them on.
Yeah, Monday. Yeah. I've never worn them.
I have a pair of sock garters for I know you. If you do. Would like to wear the sock garters, but I just feel like if you wear sock garters, there's no way to show off your sock garters unless you wore shorts, and then you'd look like a total douche.
Yeah.
And we really can't be doing that type of thing. You know what I mean? So maybe that's just a private show for me later, showing off the sock garters. However, I digress. Man, so we get Dutch trying to convince Carolot to mess up her hair and makeup before they go out. And again, we have this era, 85... perms are around. Everyone's hair is irreparably damaged. We have a lot of frizz, and Carolot's is no exception. It is standing absolutely on end. It is an entity unto itself. It's fantastic, and Dutch does mess it up with a big pussy eating scene.
Yeah, I mean, hey, great pussy, by the way, I would say.
Hers, okay, yeah. So hers reminds me of that Bill Hicks bit when he's describing, he's like, ew, teenage pussy, ew, it's like a paper cut with a wisp of cotton at the top. Like when he's like describing, it's like a strawberry, it's a paper cut with a wisp of cotton. That is kind of what Carolot's thing is like.
Fantastic.
Just like and a paper cut with a wisp of cotton.
Fantastic.
It's really pretty.
And Carolot, interesting piece of trivia is that she is the body double in Body Double. She is Melanie Griffith's body double in
the movie. I mean, she has an amazing body. I mean, she really does.
And then two actresses from this movie.
I
Amber
love
Lynn.
Body Double.
Body Double is incredible.
Body Double's great. Very aesthetic.
We love, that's one of our favorite LA movies, favorite 80s LA movies, and you know, possibly favorite De Palma. But two actresses from this movie are also extras in 52 Pickup. Amber Lynn and Carolot are both in 52 Pickup, which is another great LA
love 52 Pickup.
Your porn related noir. That'd be a great double feature with Body Double. Body Double and 52 Pickup would be great double feature. But yeah, this opening scene is great. You know, right away, like you said last week,
and he says, "Suck on my meat."
Yeah. And she does.
So, like, all right.
You know, you said, Tara, last week when we had mentioned we're going to do this, high jerk factor on this one. And I'd say that stands.
Yeah,
that stands.
It's the high jerk factor. It has long scenes. It's the type of scenes for jerk factor where it's like, you know, they do the close up. They're going to get under the grundle and kind of move in for a tight shot. Like, this is designed for some jerking.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, sometimes we do some things and they're kind of like more artful and they have like an incidental fucking and there's not like exactly what you think, but this is, you know, high jerk factor, just saying. But yes, so they do a doggy blast all over her back, and then he crams it back in. Good old Harry Reams
goes right back in, you know what I mean?
Cock of steel. Look at that man, he's really taking one for the team.
But hey, they do make their way to Club Paradise. And again, I do, like you said, Tara, I love the low budget period aesthetics, right? Just the art deco, the look of it.
And even when you have like extras, because you have to have extras to make the scene at the club, but at the same time then you have to wardrobe all of them.
Yeah.
So it's like six people
how
at
cool
the club.
Would it be? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so
yeah.
good. I know. But it is really ridiculous, and then recreating like the like high class, like white and gold with like acrylic look of Art Deco Club. It's ridiculous. It's great, and I'm so glad that they reached really high. Club Paradise. Isn't this really the cat's ass? Everyone in the fucking world is here.
She's cursing up a storm, trashy as can be.
And he says, "Listen, Happy Lips, you can be replaced by any dame in this town." And she's like, "Oh, yeah." And he's like, "Yeah." And then she left. Poor little Dutch seagull. And then.
But we are finally introduced, Tara, to the one and only Ginger Lynn.
And he calls her Nervous Legs. He's like, "Hey, who's Nervous Legs over there selling cigarettes?"
And what do we see? When we meet her, she's, yeah, that's exactly what she's doing. Cigarettes? Yeah, you got to do it anytime.
Cigars,
Tara, promise me anytime I set up what Ginger Lynn says, you take over so that you don't have to hear me do it.
I don't know if I remember.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
But she does do the baby voice the whole time.
She does this type of baby voice the whole film, and I love it.
Yeah, and so
I really want to just talk like this.
She is an innocent. She is from Rockford, she says, which is actually where she's from, Rockford, Illinois. Her and
said like a true person from Illinois, Mike.
I got
Illinois.
Tara, I got two other, one other and a band from Rockford. So we have Ginger Lynn. We have Natasha Leggero. And Cheap Trick.
Oh, damn. I love all of those things.
I know you do.
I love all three of those. What a wonderful town of Rockford, Illinois. And Ginger.
I don't think I ever. It's on the other. It's like not towards Chicago from the suburb I grew up in. It's the other way. I don't think I ever set foot in Rockford. I don't think.
So we have Ginger Lynn Allen and Amber Lynn Allen, and they are not related.
I know.
Strangely, places say that they're related, but they're not.
Yeah, I mean, they met. And it just, you know,
they work together. They're around.
And, yeah, absolutely. But we have Ginger Lynn, and you know, Harry Reams is of course curious about this new girl, so he brings over the guy who hires from Club Baroness because this is Harry's
like the club manager.
Excuse me.
And he says, "Hey, how is she? Everyone knows you fuck him before putting him out on the floor." And then, you know, but it is a great. Do you need a little sticky?
I do. Sorry, I got a little tickle in my throat.
We don't want you to have to go back and do an edit now, dear. So, we get a lovely little unceremonious. Woo! Okay, that pass was challenging.
Sorry.
A long couch, all right, everybody. We're back. It's a long couch, everybody. You've got to pass from end to end. You got to not
sorry,
hit
everybody.
The microphone. Woo! It's a thing.
It's not UE if there's not some sort of madness.
Well, you know how it goes. It's okay. No disclaimers necessary. So we get a whole scene of this manager just kind of bending Ginger Lynn over in her lovely, like, kind of gingham-y period outfit with her little white gloves and just kind of getting railed from behind quietly. She's like, she's not even like, oh.
Yeah, it's a great scene because it is, we enjoy this era of porn when there's a scene put in that's not hot.
Not sexy.
Like
yeah.
in a roommate's or when it actually is setting something up. So this one is setting up like she doesn't really know what she's doing. It's I love how weird and awkward and quiet this scene is.
Yes.
There's no music going.
She's just silently kind of like taking it, not even biting her lip. She doesn't. And this guy's just like, you know.
And all you hear is the sound of the stool or like.
Or the butt slapping. It's like casting couch shit. But it is
like a really cool, strange scene that's awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
In this great way.
And I love that they're not trying to portray this like audition to be a cigarette girl as sexy.
But also it's just sort of bland and mundane.
Yeah. No,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's great.
And he blasts on her ass.
Yeah. And she goes,
"Does this mean I get the job?"
And she does get the job. And then you know, Dutch is like, "Okay, sweetie, your name's Kitty now." And she goes, "Kitty."
Yeah. So,
so now her name is Kitty because every trashy lady needs a trashy name.
Yep. But, you know, Dutch is a little concerned. You know what I mean? He's concerned. He likes her, but it's just not his kind of dame. So, Tara, what in the world can he do to trash this lady?
He's going to call Rita, who is Amber Lynn. Dutch loves the way she talks, and so do I. She fucking talks like this. She's like, "Oh, what are you doing? Making me sit around here and wait." I mean, again, I'm not going to do
you're doing
all
great.
Her sassy things.
You're doing great.
I mean, just picture like a swearing, impatient lady who's quite irreverent.
She's great. She looks amazing. And in some ways, I mean, Ginger Lynn is the cover star of the movie, but Amber might steal the show.
She's the OG trashy. I mean, she comes in here, she makes her entrance wearing a glittering black turban with a fascinator covered in a black boa and like a cape, and then has like a little like strapless velvet number underneath. Like the whole thing is just fantastic. It's again, what I want as a trashy lady. It's exactly what I want to wear every day. And Mike, I will say this. You know I own many a turban. I'm looking at one right behind you right now.
On a wig head.
Getting your turban to have a good shape is hard. You can't just... People think you're just going to throw a turban on your head. Unless it's a really expensive, fancy turban that's made with a shape, you can't just toss a turban on. You got to kind of stuff your turban. You got to get your hair smooth under it. You have to, like, I stuff my turban with fake hair. Full disclaimer, that's how I make my nice turban shape. But her turban is the perfect shape. Her lipstick is such a beautiful, eye-popping, whorish red. I love the fascinator over her eyes. Everything about her. Her nails are, you know, like an inch too long back in a time when everyone's nails were not this long. Again, it's that she really has every detail down in being an absolute amazing trashy lady. So, and her willingness, you know, to just give away, like, you know, Dutch, I appreciate your offer. I will help you out with your lady.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna throw you some head in the meantime.
And look.
On the house.
This blowjob is, in many ways, an example of a perfect blowjob. And I said I've said this before, and Tara, I say it again. I said it when we were watching it. Did I not, Tara?
You sure did.
I'll declare that this is a perfect blowjob.
Yeah. Yeah, she does all the speeds. She does the slow. She does the fast. She pays attention to all the parts. She knows what she's
doing. It's so
hot. Would you think that she wouldn't know what she's doing?
Of course she knows what she's doing. And Ginger Lynn is going to show us how incredible she is, too.
And her lipstick is not smeared this whole damn time.
It's incredible. She's so hot doing it. I like that she keeps the clothes on and the turban on, right? It's just
keeps it all on.
It's just,
she doesn't even get cum in her
feathers.
She's
like, what's that?
She doesn't even get any cum in her feathers.
I mean, Harry Reams has that good aim.
Yeah, he does have an aim.
She has the good. She takes it perfectly. This is, to me, one of the hottest blowjob scenes of this era, for sure. And Amberlynn is like, look, she's one of the greatest to do it.
She is. I mean, she's still doing it.
She looks so hot.
She looks amazing. I mean, there was a time when, like, Amberlynn was the highest paid touring...
Makes sense.
...dancer.
Makes sense.
And she made so much money, but she does all kinds of things. She's still active in many areas. So, man, she looks great. Now, listen.
Tara, I'm listening.
Here's what he says. I got this new dame. It's kind of a problem. She's too classy for me. She's too classy. Teach her to chew gum like you. Why? What a guy like me needs is a trashy lady just like you.
And she's like, I'll take that as
all
a compliment.
Right, I'll take it as a compliment.
So good.
But it is true. He does need a classy lady. And I go back. I miss chewing gum. I love sassy gum chewing. I think I like when wrestlers are chewing gum.
Yeah.
I enjoy mostly when people chew gum, unless they chew gum like a mindless brain dead idiot. Like when somebody's just staring ahead chewing gum, like a cow, I guess. Yeah. It's not great. But a lot of sassy gum chewing in the right context, I find it riveting.
Yeah, I can feel you there, Tara.
Yeah, yeah. But there are, you know, crimes against the gum. But in general, I enjoy it.
Yeah. And so, you know, Rita Amberlynn has the idea that she'll do this, but she also is going to need some, you know, some actual experience, experience in the field for Ginger. She's going to need to bring in a guy. And she does. She brings in a young Mr. Tom Byron, who, you know, again, still going strong.
He was the boy selling the papes.
A lot of these guys, I mean, Herschel Savage went all the way, you know, until he's no longer with us. You know, why wouldn't you? If you're in that world, I mean, dude, Tom Byron, let's go, you know? So he's the lucky guy who gets to be the stunt cock here for Ginger Lynn and Amberlynn. Amberlynn's going to show Ginger just what to do.
Yeah, I mean, and then this is the blowjob lesson. This is the, suck
I mean,
on
Ginger,
it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so, suck on it until you get it hot. Oh boy, so wild.
I love, too, when Amber's, like, not when Ginger's going and Amber's, like, doing her nails, like, chewing the gum.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're doing great.
And then she's
just, like, chewing gum and doing her nails in between.
But,
like,
hey, look.
Teaching somebody to get
Ginger is a quick learner because, my goodness, it is fantastic.
Yes. And I just saw, I knew I had had the notes about it somewhere, and I just found the notes about Amberlynn. It's so hard to like keep the say Amber and Ginger in the right place. I'm sorry.
You got it. You're doing hey, Tara, you're doing great.
So she was the first female performer to open the door for adult film stars to be featured in dance touring. She's been recognized for this. She made $32,000 a week at one point in time. She was paid $20,000 to appear in Sin City's Entertainment 1995 Baywatch parody Babe Watch.
Hey, hey.
3 and 4. That was 10 times more than Pamela Anderson's own claim that she only made $1,500 per day on Baywatch.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing? So she made more on Babe Watch than Pam Anderson. But again,
I like
Pam Anderson
it.
Did it every damn day. So I don't know if you're doing a cumulative number there or whatever. But yes. And then Amberlynn did eventually get into like freebasing cocaine and things of that nature.
Yeah, she sure did. I don't even think eventually. She was a pretty early adopter of that.
Yeah, she said it made her a little less nervous. She also, Amberlynn went out with Jamie Gillis, whereas Gingerlynn went out with Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
Hey, look, that sounds all right by me. But yeah, you know, Amber is one of the greats, obviously. I would love to do Amber Aroused at one point, one of our other favorites here. And
also did not testify.
Or Gingerlynn.
Gingerlynn did not testify against pornographic producers when Tracy Lords was doing all of her lawsuits.
And she ended up going to jail for tax stuff.
Because she thinks that the IRS then, because she would not testify, was targeting her, and she became one of those. Which, again, integrity. Stayed strong.
A great series. Some of this information, and again, I'm pretty sure I have a pretty good porn memory, but a great series. It's a contained podcast series, Once Upon a Time in the Valley, about the Tracy Lords stuff. Mm-hmm. Tom Byron, who dated Tracy Lords, Amberlynn and Gingerlynn are all on it. And Ginger and Amber don't have many good things to say. Tom is definitely a little more diplomatic. But it's a great series put on by the Rialto Report people, as well as both Ginger and Amber have been interviewed on Rialto Report. Both great interviews. So highly recommend.
And they seem like sweetheart. Now, Tracy Lords is amazing to look at. She does amazing performances. Does not seem like she was a sweetheart.
I mean, look, you know, someday we should, you know, maybe we'll listen to that series and maybe do a summation of the whole Tracy Lords story, because it is fascinating. It's always been a fascinating story. But, you know, Amber and Ginger, Tracy were three of the biggest together at the time.
Yes, 100%.
You know, so it is, and around the time of Trash Lady, and of course New Wave Hookers, which Tracy Lords was the original cover star, and that scene's been cut, and you know, Gingerlynn's has since, and any version is on the cover.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tara, continue.
Well, okay, so she learns how to, you know, put it in her mouth.
Oh, man.
Learns how to do that. Boy, oh, boy. Amberlynn's getting bored, and then she says, "Move over, sweetheart," and she was like, "Here, hold it up like this and just stick it in." Yeah. So then she shows her how to do it.
Lucky Tom Byron.
Yeah, and man, they're painting their really long nails a lot in this film. And seeing those old bottles reminds me, like, do you know how long that stuff would take to dry?
I mean, look, I know the process it goes now in modern times. And
yeah,
I
know you know how long it takes mine to dry.
And you have a whole system, literally a thing that, a plug-in system.
Well, it's a UV cure. I do
the
gel polish.
Am I speaking out of turn?
I'm
there?
Sorry. No.
I didn't mean, I'm saying, am I giving away too much? I don't
I chose UV polish that cures with the light, because then I know it's dry. Because how many times, Mike, in the past, do you remember when I would like paint some form of nail and then like get in the bed and it would get all messed up, and then it just becomes this whole thing. I'm just like, don't touch my nails.
So you have this thing that does dry, but it's still a whole process.
Well, it's 90 seconds cure time for each coat. So you have to do a base coat, and that's 90 seconds. Then you do a first coat, and that's 90 seconds. Second coat, 90 seconds. And then you top coat, 90 seconds.
Yeah,
so
but
it's 4 times 90 seconds.
Yeah. But it's sort of like when U-Haul says it's like $19.95 to rent. You know, that it ain't no $19.95. It ain't no 6 minutes per hand.
Well, then you have to apply, you know, so it's like 30 seconds, 6 minutes. It's probably 10 to 15 per hand, toe, whatever, you know?
Something like that.
It's somewhere around
Hey,
there.
You know.
Well, if I want to put a cute design on it, then I got to do something else.
Pop on a Ted Bundy doc and we're good to go.
Yeah, pop on a Ted Bundy doc and do your nails. I see no problem with it. But the thing is, with the UV curing, when it's cured, it's cured.
Totally.
You don't have to, like, worry about, you know, somebody stepping on your toes or putting your getting under the blankets and all messed up or touching your hair. It's a mess. Anyway, kudos to them, Amberlynn and Gingerlynn, just handling wet nails masterfully. That's all I'm saying. And so lessons have been learned. Hot scenes have been had.
Where does Tom blast here? I believe he blasts on Ginger's ass, I believe, in this one. And yes, he does.
Yeah, because it's from behind. Yes, he blasts also on the ass. And then we get to go see Dutch at work.
Hey.
He's got a fighter.
He does.
And the fighter, he's working on
jab,
the...
Jab, jab, jab.
Jab, 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 jab. What are those called? Heavy bag.
Yep.
He has his trainer. He's holding the heavy bag. Apparently, all this fighter does is jab. He only jabs. He's not left, right. He's not hook. He's not bobbing. He's not weaving. He's just jab, 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 jab. That's okay. This guy's working on, it's jab day for this boxer. And his trashy lady, he
getting
also kind of has
bored.
A trash lady. She's bored. She also needs a workout. And so I do like also in the porn when we get fantasy scenes.
Yeah, and she is there's a couple in this. And this one, she is fantasizing about getting double teamed.
Yeah.
By the trainer and the boxer.
And you know what, Mike? You really, to get that DP... you need to have good timing. So maybe the timing, this coach and the closeness with the boxer and the coach.
They know each other. That's a good point,
see,
Tara.
And there was that voiceover being like, jab, 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 jab,
in the back,
jab.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have been like, jab, jab, jab?
You know
jab,
what?
Jab.
This is a
jab,
really good point, Tara.
Jab, jab, jab.
Maybe it's because of their training together that they are able to really expertly perform this DP.
Yes, yes,
you know,
do.
Ginger... with Tom Byron and I can't remember who else in New Wave mm-hmm. Hookers does a fantastic legendary DP. But here, you know, Tara, you pointed out, you know, obviously we've watched our fair share of porn. Any listener is like,
have.
Jesus
our
Christ,
lovely
you guys.
Listeners as well.
It's wild.
Our lovely listeners yes. have probably done their research as well.
Yes. But, you know, it is something I think about, the actual mechanics of the DP. And you really pointed it out in this watch. Like, man, it feels like there is a level of coordination going on
yes.
and a level of mm-hmm. of working togetherness with the dudes.
It's like teamwork. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, because it's just...
Well, I wrote down what yeah. you said when we were watching this. And, Mike, the quote that you said is, it's a whole thing, I would imagine. Because I said you got to have a lot of timing to pull that one off, huh? And you said, it's a whole thing, I would imagine.
I mean, you got the bottom, you know, you got to have the anchor.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I would also imagine, like, depending on the angle.
Taking a lot of weight, that anchor on the bottom,
that's what
right?
I'm saying. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then how do they even, like, you know, really get a good thrust unless
well,
it's,
I, but
you
I
know.
Feel like once you're in that rhythm, mm-hmm. you got to. It's kind of like a thing where you have to keep that rhythm going,
jab,
and if anyone
gets out of sync, yeah,
you might kind of
blow her whole taint out. You know what
you
I mean?
You got to jab. Yeah, there
no
could
hooks
I feel
in
like
this
there could
one.
Be a, I feel like there could be some, you know, industrial level accidents.
I feel like, you know, this is something where you need to be mindful. You need to be present.
But you also kind of have to, like, you know, let yourself go. It's got to be a, you know, a tough, and you know, what I'm saying is hats off to these gentlemen.
Tip of the old hat.
And hats off to our lady who's
yeah,
like, who's just,
she's great.
Getting mm-hmm. plowed.
I didn't like her feathered headpiece.
She's not my favorite, but.
She was great.
I love
But it's
them
not
all.
Her
love
fault that they put a bum hat on her. I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know what it was about it, but sometimes a feathered hat, to me, just makes me think my eyes would get tickled.
Actually, I like her.
Her purple.
Yeah, no, you know what? I like her. I take that back. Right. Look, I'm sorry. I take that back. I felt guilty.
I'm not trying to neck her. I'm sorry. It was just the hat that I didn't like. So then we move into one of my favorite scenes of all movies across all time, we have Ginger Lynn practicing her trashiness,
which we heard at the top of the discussion.
Yes.
This morning.
And who walks in to witness this trashy transformation but a trashy maid?
Bonnie Blue, incredible. And yeah, Tara, looking in the mirror, practicing those curse words, something that you've quoted, you know, since first seeing this.
Yeah.
And now, especially after our view for this episode, it's been pretty nonstop, and I welcome it.
Well, and I'm glad that the maid is willing to really help with her development in this series. And the maid's like, you know what? I'm a maid that doesn't wear panties. I'm going to show you what to do with this other thing. So she helps her along by helping her navigate her way around the vulva.
Yeah, crazy.
A little vulvic exploration.
Yeah, wow.
A little labial love.
There you go.
A little slithering through the slit.
I like it.
We have
look at
all
you.
Of these
oh,
activities.
What a dame. What a dame.
I love the way you talk. But yeah, oh, and then, yeah. So what a wonderful maid. And she gives her a tour of the area. And
fantastic job, everyone.
Fantastic
everyone really
job.
Gives it their all.
Then we get to see Louie and the Slammer.
So we get another fantasy scene because Rita's. Or is this when Rita comes to the Slammer, or is this when he's finding out, or you know he hears that Rita's been seeing Dutch and he's pissed off.
He hears that Rita's been seeing Dutch and he thinks that she's cheating on him. So he goes and puts a hit on Dutch, and these assholes shoot one of his gin barrels, which
Come
is so
on.
Rude. I'm always so confused. Yeah, I guess.
What?
Well,
okay.
I started to say something, and then
it.
I thought it was might be dumb.
Okay.
Is gin aged in wood?
I have no idea. I don't really know. Gin is definitely down the list of. I mean, we don't really shut our door to any.
I do love
spirits,
gin. I go through gin phases, and
it's
I have
rare that we
gins.
Have any here. You
well,
I mean?
Because if we have it, we're in a phase and we drink all of it. Because
yeah.
I like the. Remember when we had the Henrik's bergamot
hey,
gin?
I like a Rangoon
that was really
gimlet.
Good.
And I, to be fair, actually, again,
the bergamot.
I say things and then I immediately go like, "Wait, what the hell? Why did
no.
I get a gin and tonic
we
all
love
the
gin.
Time
we
at,
get them all
at
the
a
time.
When I'm out because it's
we
an easy
love the
thing to get.
Botanophore gin. Like we like a botanical gin. It's just that kind of the gin that I like the most is more than I want to pay, so I don't get it that much. But that's what I was just thinking is like, I like the like herbal botanical gins, but I just don't think they're aged in wood. And I said that out loud and I'm like, is that true? But no, I think they're not aged.
Love a Rangoon
wood.
Gimlet.
Love a Rangoon
so
gimlet.
Yeah, look,
love
sorry.
A gin
hey,
and
look,
tonic.
I said something.
I like tonic water without gin in it. I just like quinine. Like I like the flavor
we
of
have
tonic
a friend,
water. I'll drink tonic
we have a
water
friend
all day.
Who's, one of his favorite drinks is gin and Mountain Dew. And I still want to try that someday.
Gin and Mountain Dew.
And I know he's look, a big, I know he's a, I know he would be a fan. I don't know if we've ever discussed this movie specifically, but he's
really?
Definitely a fan of this era.
Look, here's the thing that I've never acquired in a taste for. Look. I don't like Mountain Dew.
Right. I it was definitely in high school that was my go-to.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
In high school I drank Coca-Cola out of a can or Mr. Pibb or Surge, which was that short-lived Mountain Dew, but I didn't like Mountain Dew cuz it wasn't carbonated enough. I hate when the carbonation something gets flat.
My high school go-to was Taco Bell and free Mountain Dew refills. Like that was like I like that was
what
like.
What was your order?
I would change it up.
You change.
I still
it up,
I don't
you
really
do.
Anymore. But like no. I mean, but back then I would, and there was a lot of different stuff in the '90s.
At Taco Bell in high school, this is high school, Tara. I would get Coca-Cola with no
Taco
ice.
Bell. You would get no. They were
no. Sorry,
they were
Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
Actually, Dr. Pepper. Then
okay, yeah.
Dr.
Yeah.
Pepper, no ice. Whatever it was, no ice. You're right. Dr. Pepper, no ice, and a Mexican pizza.
I mean, I'm a
and
big
then those cinnamon twists.
Mexican pizza fan.
That's what I
am a big yeah. Soft Taco Supreme. But back in the day, they had tons of different stuff that they don't anymore.
I know they did, but I still
just
was
sad.
Just loyal to the Mexican pizza.
I love the Mexi-Melt.
And then I would go to Subway and get a black bean sub.
Getting hungry. I'm getting hungry. All right, we
two
got
stripes of
Tara,
mayonnaise.
We
got
to move on.
And provolone cheese.
I'm getting a little.
And a surge.
Getting a little too hungry, T. Let's move along. What scene is next? Is it? Amberlynn in the jail, or is there a scene before that?
God, everybody's chewing gum. I'm so horny for chewing gum right now. I love chewing gum. So then we get the scene where Amberlynn is taking, not Gingerlynn, is taking a cutesy poo bath. She's in the bubble bath. She's like,
gotcha.
She's like, press my white dress.
Yeah.
No, press my blue dress. Maid, hurry up. I need towels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maid, I love her in the bubble bath.
Have you taken care of my wardrobe? Like, she's just kind of like yelling to her maid while she's in the bubble bath, playing with a sponge. And guess what? We have Dutch's right-hand man come and he starts to get handsy with the maid. Everyone in this film watch loves pinching the nips. They're all like,
yeah,
pinch the nips.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they want more.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is going to fondle the nipple, but they're really going to pinch the shit out of all the nipples. And it's the guy with the unibrow. And, you know, I don't hate them. I would probably trim if I had one, but I don't hate it. But he's a real hairy-knuckled guy who likes to pinch nipples and finger bang.
He sure does, Tarani. What a great job he does at it, Tarani.
Oh, and then I did. And then he said when he saw the maid and she was like, "Oh, it's been a long time coming. You want to get up in here?" And he's like, "Oh, that box is so hot." And I love when he said that box is so hot. And then at this point, in taking notes. Oh, and I said the maid has a lot of pubes. Yeah, they both do. It's a hairy one.
There's a lot of trimming going on in this from everyone. You know, not
that maid has
varying
pubes.
Levels. She didn't really get the memo.
Well, I mean, it's okay. She just has the type that, you know, that go all the way around. You know, they're around the world and back type of pubes, which you wouldn't expect because she's blonde, but they go right up every nook and cranny.
Everyone else is pretty.
Everywhere you look, there's a pube.
It's not, you know, modern times, but it's more or less managed.
No, everybody's managed. It's just like for her, it's just so strange and pronounced. You just don't expect it. So it was a very hairy scene, but then it did make me remember when I was writing notes that our neighbor has a funny shirt. Our neighbor, we see him walking out. We're like pulling in the driveway. The dude is wearing a Manscaped shirt.
Love that
shirt.
He's just promoting it.
Manscaped is what it says on the back.
Love
so
that
it's
he's like, hey, everybody.
Yeah. Lick my asshole now because there ain't nothing on it.
Clean as a whistle.
Like, and he looks like a kind of, I think, a normal middle-aged dude.
Yeah,
I'd say
he's
in his 40s, though. I would not say that he's like a young dude.
Yeah, I don't know. And but I just like that he's advertising it.
Walking around with a fucking Manscaped
shirt
on.
Or the dudes,
big letters.
I don't know.
Anybody. He wants anybody. Anybody can go downtown and not expect a mouthful of pubes, but maybe that turns some people off.
Nice.
Maybe they're like,
hey, just to know right away.
I don't care for that.
Well, who does? No.
I don't care. No, no, I'm saying like maybe somebody doesn't is what I'm saying.
Yes. But, Tara, I do believe we did go out of order because I do believe that scene with Rita in the jail is before that scene. And it's a great scene.
It is a great scene
because it's the fantasy.
Yeah.
And he's being like,
print.
I miss that pussy. Like, I
miss
you.
It's so sweet.
I miss you kissing the head of my dick. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're talking so dirty.
So,
to each other.
Amber, again, just another fantastic. And I love how flattered she is when he keeps saying that. Like, I miss you, like.
She's
my
like,
dick, and she's like, oh, like
sweet old thing.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
And it's great. I mean, this is a great scene. He's banging her on that jail table. Really good.
Like in the Ted Bundy movie when we watch Ted Bundy bang his lady in the jail scene.
I like it. But yeah, this is another great scene. Again, I'm telling you, Amber really turns in a great performance in this movie.
I love Amberlynn.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
I mean, she's fantastic. We do have Dutch coming in to explain the deal. Actually, was that the last big sex scene? I think that was the culmination
to
of the
me,
whole
the
film.
Surprise,
it's like a sweet thing.
Well, to me, the surprise of the movie always is that Harry Reams and Ginger don't have a scene together.
No.
They never do.
They never fuck.
It's the third annual Brotherhood convention at Club Paradise.
Yes.
He explains the whole thing to Herschel. They go to the club. They're all friends again. Everyone's friends again. And Ginger comes in being like, hey, you know, like,
what's the matter, baby? Ain't you never seen tits before?
She's like, this pussy's hot.
I got this hot, wet pussy. I don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
Won't you show me where to park my ass?
He's like, I love the way you talk. And he smacks her ass, freeze frame, credits. Like, you would think that it would end with them banging or like
convention.
A big orgy at the convention. Yes. You would think a lot of the orgy ends a lot of the
like
classic
the,
era,
the
right?
The peak sex scene was Amber Lynn having a fantasy.
No, the peak sex scene was the last sex scene in the movie was
Dutch.
The maid. No,
or
the maid.
Oh.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is an odd. And so many of the movies of this era end with the orgy. Amber Arouse does, Pretty Peaches,
yeah.
end with the orgy, right?
Yeah. Neon Nights,
you know, so
an orgiastic finale.
And so I remember the first time watching, be like, oh, you would think that that's how this would end. It doesn't.
No.
And Ginger, you never see Ginger.
What a waste of a ball gown. And she's wearing a wonderful, like, white beaded gown and kind of trailing her, like, white fox fur on the ground. I'll tell you, though, those dresses are heavy.
I would imagine.
Do you remember when I was a sample size, so I maybe got a couple at a bridal shop because it was a sample size and you get them for like $20.
Right.
Them shits were heavy. Like, I think mine weighed like 45 or 50 pounds almost. That really big red one.
I mean, it's wild, but
who knows what happened to that?
Look, that is a trifling complaint because this movie.
I know,
is
but it's so funny because the
incredible.
Convention is like totally
you would think,
empty.
Yeah.
There's just a banner in a hall. The guys come meet each other. Ginger Lynn walks in, and like you were thinking, yeah, you're going to see a bunch of like mob guys and doing their things with their dames, but no. Maybe they ran out of budget.
Hey, who knows? But
yeah, it's good.
Look, we love Trashy Lady. We love Ginger Lynn. We love Amber Lynn. Two of our favorites. Of course, you know, Ginger would go on to be in quote unquote, I wouldn't call Vice Academy a mainstream movie, but you know, quote unquote, non.
It was on TV.
Movies. Vice Academy, Mind, Body, Soul with Wings Hauser, which is a great one that
God,
we're definitely going to do.
Hauser, I love him.
An episode on
so much.
You know, RIP Wings. But Ginger Lynn was in a lot of different stuff. You know, look, the ladies continue to kill it to this day. And Trashy Lady, one of the greats, you know, 85, kind of near the end of the era, you know, really as you know, already, obviously, VHS, you know, more shot on video porn is what's happening at this time. But there is still the people making the movies.
Yeah.
But it's nearing the end of that era. You know, we're getting to the end of that era. And this is one of the greats of the latter part of the old school era of porn, Tara. What a great one. What a great one.
It was fantastic. I loved it. And it's very fun.
It is. It's a
good
time.
It's got a high jerk-off factor, and it's very fun.
It is.
So it's got all the things you want.
You know, people, you know, come to UE for the advice we dole out. And in private, people knowing our love of these movies, people have asked us, you know, what would you recommend if my lady... You know, I'd like to introduce watching porn together, and maybe an old one to get going.
Yeah.
And this is one we do say like Trashy Lady would be a good one to get in the mix. So hey, guys, you thinking about going the route, the underground espionage trash route?
Trick your partner into pornography.
You want to trick your lady?
Here's
trick your
great
dude.
Way.
Trashy Lady's a good one to go with. Well, great one. 1 year anniversary. And Tara, as it stands, next week's episode will land. Saturday's been kind of the day we've been doing it, and it will also land on a Saturday next week, which is Valentine's Day, Tara.
Oh, that's
and you
so
know,
nice.
You know, we still love our. We love our slashers, and you'd think, hey, you got to do My Bloody Valentine. And it's like, you know what? Look, I bet we were not the only podcast thinking about dropping a My Bloody Valentine episode on Valentine's Day. There's a lot. Hey, Hysteria Continues have done a great one. There's plenty.
Have we not done it on?
Back on Home Time,
yeah,
we did.
And, I love
maybe
My Bloody Valentine.
My Bloody Valentine is one of our all-time favorite
Hell
slashers.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, and hey, maybe we will in the future do an episode of My Bloody Valentine. We talked about X-Ray, another great Valentine's theme, Barbie Benton.
Yes.
But we thought, let's keep in the sleaze lane for Valentine's Day, and maybe not a straight porno, but maybe a erotic film. How about a film by Jess Franco, Tara? How about The Sexual Story of O for Valentine's Day?
I say Jess.
Jess. So that is what we'll be doing for next week on Valentine's Day, The Sexual Story of O, Jess Franco. Well, keep up that trashy vibe, that sleazy vibe for this February. Watch Trashy Lady. Prepare with Sexual Story of O for next week. And come on out to the Mermaid on Monday,
yes.
Los Angeles area people, 8 p.m. It's going to be a great time. Set sails for Heartbreak Harbor, Surf and Dead, the Mermaid, Tara and I spinning the dark sounds. Fantastic tiki drinks being made behind the bar. Let's all have some drinks and have a good heartbreak time on Monday at the Mermaid. All right. Thank you so much for the support throughout this year. Can't wait to do another year and another year and another year.
Holy fuck.
Talk to you next week.